Today's gospel from Mark makes explicit really what had been implied in our gospel readings in recent weeks, and namely that in healing the sick and in casting out demons, Jesus is manifesting God's forgiveness of his people's sins, which of course is a power that's even greater than any possible physical healing that you and I might ever hope for. In our first Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, the Lord is asking the question, do you not perceive? He's asking us if we perceive something new. And it has to do with forgiveness of sins. It seems that at the time of Isaiah, who was living around 800 years before Jesus, God's chosen people had basically gotten weary of him. But still God promised that he would remember their sins no more. And elsewhere, the prophet Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says that though our sins be red as crimson, they will become white as snow. In Old Testament times, the people of Israel on the feast of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, they would gather for a day asking for the mercy of God. And they would take a goat. The temple high priest would pray the people's sins over the goat. And the goat then would be taken out into the wilderness where it would die. And it would die, at least certainly symbolically, with the sins of the people. And this took place once a year. And this is actually the origin of our English word scapegoat. It's where it comes from. In other words, putting all our sins on some goat and sending it off to die. But as St. Paul writes, in the Old Testament times, the sins of the people were, in a sense, just covered up. They weren't literally forgiven by God. They were kind of put out of the way, but not literally forgiven. But Jesus makes clear, it seems to me, time and time again, that he's going to forgive our sins. They won't be just covered up in some way, hidden away. And he's calling on you and me to perceive what he's doing. And he says, for my own sake, I will forgive your sins. And it's for his own sake, in order to demonstrate quite clearly to each one of us his awesome love and mercy, because you and I, in no circumstance, deserve to have any of our sins forgiven. As a matter of fact, no matter how holy, how saintly any one of us might become, we still would never deserve to have God forgive our sins. Now, sometimes if we look at our own sins in a realistic way, we'll realize that we can never be worthy of God's love and mercy. Especially the better we know ourselves, we think, gosh, does God realize the situation that he's dealing with, that he would actually forgive me and love me without limit the way he does? But he does. And everything he makes possible for us is always a pure gift. And for God's own reason, for his own glory, he's chosen each one of us to be his follower, to be his disciple, actually to be the brother or sister of his own son. In other words, to be his adopted sons and daughters. And simply out of love for us, God chooses to forgive us. And it's never because of anything we have done. It's all because of what he has done, because God, in his essence, we know, is love itself. So instead of looking at our sins and saying, I'm not worthy, so maybe I can't be forgiven of this especially, we need to look at God instead of ourselves, and we need to be able to say, we need to be able to perceive, because he is God, and he chooses to give us this gift. And for us to reject the gift would, of course, to be to reject the giver, and therefore I will accept his mercy. Now, what does St. Paul tell us in the second reading, which is kind of hard to follow? Well, Jesus is the yes to all of the promises that God ever made. I mean, everything you read about in the Old Testament, all these promises of what God is going to do, Jesus is the fulfillment, the answer, the yes to all of that. One thing that's interesting in our own day, I'm not sure many people pay attention to it anymore, but there are differences among Christians that a little bit, to some extent, still surprise me as to whether or not God really keeps his promise to forgive our sins. Now, we Catholics and Eastern Orthodox Christians, we all know for sure that God actually forgives our sins. And just as Jesus promised the apostles, for example, it's in John 20:23, when on Easter Sunday evening, in his, his first appearance to the apostles as a group, Jesus tells them, his first words are, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And that passage from John 20 is for us Catholics one of the key passages that shows us where the church, Jesus' church, has the authority to forgive sins. Now, many of the Protestant Christians whose theology originates in the Reformation, they technically believe that God only covers up their sins so that he won't see them. They're in a sense covered up by his blood. But they believe their sins are actually never erased. They're never entirely gone. And this idea, I suppose, traces back to the Old Testament, to the scapegoat. But on the other hand, Jesus really multiple times made specific promises that he would forgive sins. In the confessional, our sins are destroyed. They're gone. They don't exist anymore. And I think that's one reason we Catholics, we should have such an awesome appreciation of the dignity of what it means to be a human being. The fact that we're adopted children of God, the fact that when we mess up, which we most of us do regularly, our sins are actually forgiven by this God. And the dignity we have is just awesome in that regard. In other words, we aren't just something that needs to be covered over by a blanket so God doesn't see how awful we are. No, we're really made perfectly clean by the forgiveness of our sins. Now look at today's gospel where Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." To demonstrate through a physical healing that the reality of spiritual healing has taken place. And of course, confession of sins and forgiveness means that we've got to set about changing our lives. Probably every time we go to confession, every time we seek forgiveness of sins, we realize that we have to get back on course, the course that we should have been from the beginning. Now, we can look at the woundedness in our own hearts and ask ourselves, who do I need to forgive? Is there some resentment, maybe some lingering vengeance that I'm hanging on to? Is there someone out there that I am refusing to forgive? We know we cannot be forgiven unless we forgive, and Jesus makes that clear. If we do not forgive, we would be praying condemnation on ourselves every time that we pray the Lord's Prayer. Now remember that to forgive does not mean that we say whatever happened was okay. To forgive, no matter what our occasional or even lingering feelings might be, is to be certain that I am determined to let go of it. I'm not going to drag it around anymore. And if it still comes to mind, I'm right away going to ask God's blessing on those who I might have hurt those who might have hurt me because I choose to forgive them. So the forgiveness is actually, remember, it's an operation of our will. And I think it's okay to pray that prayer, a blessing on them. Our feelings may not catch up with what I call these fine words that we're putting into our prayer. But if we're serious about asking the Lord to forgive someone, asking the Lord to give us a spirit of forgiveness, I think we can say we have forgiven, even if these feelings might linger with us in some way. And in the same way, God is not going to tell us it was okay when we sinned, but he does forgive, and unlike us, he lets go of it right away. He's able to put it out of his mind right away. He destroys it, and it will never be heard of again. Now, many of us have areas within us, within our hearts, that contain pain and struggle, including in areas of sin. And we need always to bring those things to Jesus, not merely to confess them, but to have them healed, because that's what he wants to do with us. And we see that in the story of the paralytic today. The paralytic is healed both spiritually and physically, and God always wants to heal all of our woundedness. And he's telling us he's going to do something new. We need to look to him to perceive what he's doing. And then we need to do what we're supposed to do to accept in our own lives his love and mercy, and again and again and yet again give him praise and glory and the honor that are due to his holy name.